Good evening, everyone. Welcome to today's live. So I owe you an apology. Last week, Thursday, we promised to send you the Speak Your Change workbook. Erastus Uso has spoken about influences, the things that influence our relationships and the impact they have on us. So what we had said was the whole team was going to make sure that you had Speak Your Change, right? But we weren't able to work on it this week. So between now, when Coach Ewa comes live, and next week Thursday, when Doratin Didi comes live, you will be able to access and download Speak Your Change affirmations. Speak Your Change has about 8 affirmations on your sex life, your relationship, how you raise your kids, your finances, your health, your identity as a child of God. All of those affirmations are inside the Speak Your Change. You have both the ebook and the audiobook. You will get access to it. Meanwhile, conference plans are going as planned, and it is super exciting. It is really, really exciting to be in this process with you people. Hi, Coach Ewa. I noticed you just joined. Coach Ewa is a fantastic leadership student. You can call her a student of John C. Maxwell. She's a personal student. Yay! Yay! The coach herself. Good evening, Ewa.
Good evening, Ms. Lisa. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Ma. Wow, it's such a privilege to be here. Thank you so much, Ms. Lisa. Thank you, Audacity Nation team. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Cool. We're excited to have you too.
Okay.
Calm down. Calm down. You want to soak all the juice, Sha? We want all the juice.
Definitely, but that's good. Let's see.
Okay. So when you saw your team, what came to your head? What came to mind when you saw your team?
When I saw my team, I think the first thing that actually came to my mind was, I remember the situation I'm in now. I mean, I've been leading my brand for close to how many years? I've been in counseling space for close to 5 years now, and trust me, I still feel like portfolio. No. And I feel like I'm not enough. I feel like there are still times I still have to go and learn. I need to go and learn. I need to go and do this. And then I'm like, okay, I've always been feeling this way, even when I've still been on the journey. And I think that's one of the things that is common to everybody. Like, you just think, no, I think I still need to have more and experiences. I still need to have more practical knowledge about something I want to do. And the amazing truth is, even when you start doing that thing, that feeling never dies. So I'm like, I think this is just the real, it was like you saw into my season, and then you just pick the topic from. I'm like, Minister Lisa, you shouldn't be doing this anymore. I thought it was meant to be him though. But that was really what came to mind. Like, I mean, this is just one of the things everybody would always have to deal with. No matter what you're doing, how you are doing it, they still are feeling like, are you sure this is the right time to do this? And then if you are really bold, you dive into the waters, and diving into the waters, you learn and you go.
So you learn inside the water. You don't learn before you dive.
Well, I think it's two ways. There are times that you learn before you get into the water, but and then there are times that no matter what you've learned, when you get into the water, depending on what the water is saying, depending on the climate, right,
depending on what the water is saying, valid.
Always learn. You know, someone said, I don't know who said this, philosopher that said, the 21st century literate is the person who cannot unlearn, learn, and relearn again. So many times.
Trying.
No matter what you have learned, when you get into the field, there are some things that you have to tweak to fit into your own situation. It just doesn't go like A, B, C. It doesn't go as planned. So I think there's actually really never the best time to say, okay, this is when the best time is coming. It doesn't just really happen.
So that's it. So when did you know that, okay, Ewa, you have to dive? When did you make your dive? What inspired your dive?
What inspired my dive? Okay, so well, I would say that, you know, this is actually, like, I was watching your last video, and you know, you were saying something on how you have to be so calm and certain people because, you know, there are some opportunities, there are some advantages you have that some people do not have. So I do think one thing I would not like to play on would be my personality. I'm more of a get-it-done person. When I want to do anything, when it's in front of me, I just know I can't back out. So there is something on my inside that just is, woman, you learn or we learn. Anything.
Is it you learn or you learn? There's no alternative plan.
there's really no alternative plan. We learn or we learn. And many times I actually do learn from it when I am intentional. So I would say first is actually my personality of get things done, whether this thing has to be done, it has to be done, get it done. And also other times would be when I actually sit down and weigh the cost. If I don't do this thing, what would happen? Many times that I have made decisions like this would actually be relating to my career. And, you know, I always tell myself, maybe it's just another opportunity to inspire somebody. And I think it gives me more fulfillment when I can do that. So that alone allows me that, like, Ewa, you don't have to be perfect. Just do the little you can do. And many times my mentors, I mean, thank goodness I have someone like you too. When I come into your space, I come into some other people's space and they just tell me, when you do it, when you think you're ready, you are late actually.
Quote that again.
So one of my mentors will tell me, when you do it, when you think you are fit, you are right, you're actually late.
I have never heard that before.
Yes. So wow. Those are the words that actually push me. So I really do think that's what makes me dive. So I tell myself, when I'm not ready, that's actually the time to get this thing done, because it beats my confidence. That's where mastery is built. That's where confidence is built. That's where, you know, the point where I've realized that even when I was scared, when I did things, when I was scared, people came back to me with so much feedback, like, you inspired me. I'm like, if I'm inspiring when I'm scared, I just think I want to be scared and keep inspiring everybody. So really, I think diving is actually the mind behind it.
I still can't get over your quotes. When I show up, when I think I'm ready, I'm late.
Actually,
I am late.
That's the honest.
Okay, Elizabeth, this is the best time to host conference with the trepidation and everything.
Yeah.
I was at the conference venue yesterday and I made a video of the hall. And I was telling you guys, I said, guys, if we hosted a conference for 100 people, I'll be proud of myself. This is exceeding abundantly above all my mind can think, imagine, anything you want to add to it. This is it. Wow. When you show up, when you think you are ready, you are late. So for those of you who are just joining us, our topic for today is why the right time to start never comes. Why the right time to begin never comes. What idea do you have? What book is in your mind? What podcast do you think you need to start? What platform do you need to work on? Coach Ewa is joining us tonight. She's our guest. Having a bit of a network glitch, but she'll come back. But one of the things she just said right now, we have to put this one on a special design. When you show up, when you think you are ready, you are already late. What do you need to do that you are afraid of right now? I want you to put it in the comment section if you're engaging. What do you think you need to do right now? What idea do you have that you need to expand on that you are too scared to begin right now? Like, how would you begin? So, Ewa, when you realize you had to jump and you are the kind of person who says, oh, I have to learn. Woman, you have to move, right? What practical steps? See, it's easy to just encourage people. So the thing for the year at Audacity Nation is not just courage, but the courage and power. That's the theme for the year. That's the theme for conference as well. The courage and power to become. So I can encourage you and say, oh, just do it. Do it afraid. Mm-hmm. But beyond the courage, what were the things that kept air in your sail as you moved? What were the things that kept you empowered? How did you? People have power. So you're not necessarily empowering them. You're just making them conscious of the power. How did you keep your own power?
Okay, thank you so much. And guys, thank you for joining. If you're just joining in, you have to stay through. This is going to be insightful, trust me. And do also follow Audacity Nation, man. It's going to be a sweet ball. Yeah, so
thank you, Ella.
Let's get straight to it. So what has actually kept me on the course or on my journey, even though I have the get it done personality? Okay, so I would take it from one of the things she told me one time when we had a mentoring session. You said out that passion without knowledge is actually very dangerous. So I do think that in as much as it is important for you to, okay, it is, I need to get this thing done. You need to sit down, first count your costs. And that's where the practical things come in. So when I want to do something, I have to ask myself, okay, why don't I want to do this? Or what is making this thing particularly hard for me? And when I can identify what is making it hard, when I can and what is making it hard. The next thing I do is I speak to a mentor. I speak to my friends. I speak to my friends that remind me of what I am to be doing at this point in time. That, Ewa, don't allow fear get into your head. You know, there is one of my friends that will say, how did you get to this point? What did you start doing? What did you start listening to? What did you take? What did you do? So in that point, they put me more like in a therapy session. And when I do that, I remind myself, I know that I have actually deviated. I've started consuming what I ought not to consume. So one of the practical things I do. Yeah, so one of the practical things I identify my obstacles. I identify what is really stopping me. Okay, I feel like I'm not good enough. I feel like I don't have my dictions correctly. I feel like I don't have good likeness if I want to make, okay, so can this be worked on? You know, I remember when I was doing my hygiene videos and I was telling my friend that my likeness are poor. And she looked at me and said, I love the fact that you are showing up even when your likeness are poor. And it just shows your kind of person. I'm like, well, we gotta get it done. And some said, you know, it's not the lightning that really changes people, it's the word you speak. And the truth about these things is you evolve, you grow, you want to do things better as long as you're still on the journey. So the first thing I do is to identify what is actually stopping me. Second, I speak to people, I speak to my mentors. And third, I go back and look at my past results. I mean, it gives me some adrenaline. Yes, I remember when I was going to start my IG. And then I was feeling so scared. It just felt like I dropped coaching because I had to do some things at some point. And it just felt like I had been far away from that. I felt I'd lost my superpowers. So one evening, I'd done the video and my mentor kept calling me. You said you were going to post today. I'm like, yes. At some point, I didn't even pick his calls because it was literally on my neck.
It was on your case.
It was on my neck, and I'm like, I'm not picking this man's call. But actually, I knew that because the honest truth is, people can only give you encouragement, like you rightly said. The power is within you, and you have got to learn how to unleash your own power. So I know one of the ways that I can move faster is when I look back at what I have accomplished so far. So I went on my IG. I remember my client from South Africa then, and I remember the fact that I charged him and even paid more. Because it was like, are you kidding me? Are you giving me this at this amount? And that day I sat and I said, wait, you know better now. If you didn't know well and this person could pay you this amount and he could pay you more and now you know better, you have given yourself to learning continuously. Do you think you will do this? And right there, I took the video and I posted it. And that actually happened to be one of my highest. I mean, in less than that night, I think we reached about 100. And I told myself, man, you see, this fear is going to kill you if you don't kill it very quick. So in all of those, one of the things I have learned is your fears are real, but in everything, you can choose if it's going to actually keep you. My mentor will tell me that running away is a choice. So is staying. So is showing up. So the truth is, when you want to unleash your power, you have to understand what really gets at you. For me, it's actually the fact that I can impact people and people can call me and be like, Coachella, this thing you said actually made my day. I look back at the results, I mean, results I have had over time. I go back on screenshot people have said over the time. And many times I take time to pray too. I really do take time to pray. And in that place of prayer, I just feel like boldness comes on my inside. And I'm like, why can't I do this? I mean, I have God on my inside. So what is stopping you, girl? So I just get up and do it. And even in doing, I put something at the back of my mind. This is the last thing I do. I tell myself, Ewa, you're actually not perfect enough. Or should I say, you're not as knowledgeable as you should be. But this is what I want you to know. Stepping out doesn't mean you are it all. I want you to give yourself to more learning. Keep learning on the journey. You would make mistakes, it's fine. But anytime you make mistakes, you want to run away, it's fine. But anytime you do that, wherever you identify that you've done this, pick yourself up and get back in the journey. And you see yourself keep moving. You see yourself keep moving. I don't give myself unrealistic goals. Okay? I didn't even try it. So I really do think these are the practical things that I do.
I think I give myself some unrealistic goals. And I think growth to a certain degree is unrealistic.
Yes, at times. Yes.
To a certain degree, growth is unrealistic because you are trying to summon, for lack of a better word, let me sound like an African, you want to summon something. You're trying to call upon a version of you that you've never seen.
Right?
You're trying to call on a version of results that possibly no one around you has. By the time I decided I was going to be a sex therapist, I didn't know any sex therapist. I didn't know anyone. It was 300 level. I was standing in analytical mechanics class. I came out of that class and I told my lecturer, I said, sir, I don't want to analyze mechanics. I want to analyze people. And he was like, but it's the same thing. It's sir, analytical metrics cannot be the same thing. Don't vex my spirit, sir. It's not the same thing. And we laughed about it. But then I launched out into counseling and coaching and therapy in depth over the years. And I was just thinking to myself, at that time, I didn't know anybody. So you could sit down and say, I'm not going to be unrealistic. In order for you to move forward, you will be unrealistic at certain points. And that's where I have an issue with SMART goals.
Mm.
SMART goals is not the beginning of a plan. Yeah. SMART goals are the execution of a plan. You were at Inner Farm, so you know what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it for the privilege of people who have never been there. You cannot start getting to goals when you've not dreamt. You dream first, you fantasize, you let your imagination go wide, then you start having goals. I did not have words for what I just said now until I was reading the E-Myth author. I think How to Become an Entrepreneur, one of his books on entrepreneurship, the author of E-Myth. And then he says something about dreamers. Way too many of us want to have strategy when we don't even have dreams. You cannot have strategy without dreams. Let's get it over with. Someone just said now that she's supposed to work with ladies and she is scared. Does it help you to know that I'm terrified? For today's live session, you people know I've been having crazy electricity issues. For today's live session, my rechargeable bulbs just started working this afternoon. Since how many days ago I got them? And I could barely charge them for 2 hours. I had all the excuses of how this could go wrong.
Yeah.
I was at conference venue yesterday. When I saw the invoice, I told the guys, I said, see, I'll go and get married before conference. So that the day of conference, I'll be like, can you all stand up and celebrate my husband? We're joking about it. This was all fun. I could decide that, this is hard. This is serious. But the question is, when will it be the best time? Let's pretend there is a best time. When will it be the best time for me to host conference? Mind you, I wrote my first conference plan when I was 16.
Wow.
My friends and I drew up a conference plan and the budget was 5 million when I was 16. My best friend was 17. The other person was 17. I wish I can still find the ledger. We wrote all the things we needed. This is 12 years from the first time we had that dream. And I am still feeling like, hey, God, will this work? Am I doing the right thing? Blah, blah, blah. So if I say, I'm not ready in 2023, let us move it to a year when I'll be comfortable. What year will that year be? When you say, I have the vision to work with ladies and I'm terrified because of, Ewa said something, she said, identify your fears. Write out the things you are afraid of. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Write them down. Am I afraid of who will fund it? Okay, how much is the budget? Do you even know the budget? If someone calls you now and say, Ewa, I want to sponsor a conference for young coaches on campus. Do you have a budget on ground?
No, check it.
Okay, that was something I learned in 2014 or 15. I was at a conference and Andrew Kukshenko was the host. I say he was the host. He was one of the speakers. And Andrew Kukshenko had asked the room, what do you need for your business? As usual, everybody said, money, money, money. Mm. And he turned and faced one of the guys in front and he said to him, "Say, if I give you this amount, what would you do with it?" And the guy said, he would put it in his bank account and he would pay for one thing tomorrow morning. And the man said, if I give you money, why would I withdraw money from my bank account and give it to you to put it in your bank account? When you say money is your problem, do you have, as I'm sitting down here right now, if you give me 60,000 naira for school, I know precisely the school. I have emailed them before. I have their payment link in my inbox. It's planning. So when you say you are afraid of beginning, the question is, what are you afraid of? In fact, when you go to pray, what are you praying for? Hey, Father, in the name of Jesus, is it like the cup pass over me? What are you praying for? Because you need to know, you cannot have zeal. That's a scripture, by the way. Zeal without knowledge is a scripture.
It's dangerous.
So when you say, this thing is not the right time for me to begin, the first question you want to ask yourself is, so when will be the right time?
Actually.
The second thing, go on. You want to go on, please?
No. I was just saying, I think that's actually the first thing that you actually need, one that you need to down in your spirit. There's actually never a best time. I mean, like I already said, I've been doing coaching for 5 years now, and every good time, I still wake up feeling like, I don't think I'm best this journey. I think I learned more. I do think that this is not, I just don't think I have it figured out. Most times I sit down and I'm like, hey, well, thank God you started 5 years ago. Because if you didn't start, I'm telling you, next 5 years, I'll still be on this spot. And then
that's right. That's right.
My best time. I do think our best time is, I mean, maybe because of the way we have our environment condition, Nigeria, Africa, let me say, not even just Nigeria or not, I don't want to generalize, maybe some family, you know, when you want to get married, they tell you, it's not yet the time. And you're like, when is the time?
When will it be time?
Want to get, it's not yet the time. Every little thing. So it is actually from childhood, I think they have fixed a mindset that there is a time for things. And truly there is a time for things, but we just really need to, you know, you need to know when there is a time for some things and when there is actually no time for some things. When you are the one who would have the time and you are the one who would have, I think this is when I want to get this done. And in getting this thing done, you are learning on the journey, you are learning on the feet. So I really just wanted to support what you were saying, Ma.
And so in listing out your fears, you now know what practical steps to take. If I'm afraid because I think I don't know enough, then what do I need to learn? Is it that I don't have technique? In your case now as a coach, what do I feel like I don't know enough of? Is it technique or is it content? Because those are two different things as a coach and as a therapist.
Yeah.
The content I have regarding sex is different from the technique of how I operate as a sex therapist.
Right.
One of the techniques that is key for me is expressive art. There are very few expressive art therapy masters are 3 years in the United States. It takes 3 years just to master technique. That's not content. That is not content.
Right, right.
And so when I'm saying, oh, I don't know enough, who needs the small one I need? The small one I know, rather.
Yeah.
There's always someone who needs that basics I need. So in my case, when I started up, I didn't start as a sex therapist. I didn't even start as a sex coach. I started as a basic, what was I even doing? It's saying motivational speaking, something, Sha. I would come online. I would come online and I would record a podcast called Better Me with Lisa. So if you go to our Facebook, you can go to our Facebook page. Facebook has this thing called transparency where you can see all the names the Facebook page has used. So it was Better Me with Lisa. Then he went to one other name. Then he went to Lisa Express Consult, registered it as a business name. Then we registered it as a company last year. Afroglent Webzine was first TBD. TBD means to be decided. So that you don't think, oh, we always had this thing figured out. It was TBD. Then it went to JetTitor. We built a whole website. We branded it. Do you get? It was during that period we had our first bridal client before it became Afroglent. The problem happens when we want perfection from the beginning.
Right.
You cannot be perfect from the beginning. Perfection is an illusion. Focus on growth. Focus on progress. One woman in a room is better than no woman.
Right. Oh my goodness. I think this is actually very true. This is very true. This is absolutely true. Just to chip in something. You know, I was my status a few days ago with my brand, Brooklet Work. Then, and you know, before now, whenever we did webinars, you know, I always had this. Whenever we had low turnout, I would be like, oh my goodness, what's going on? What do we need to do? And then, you know, my marketing team, I'm always on their knees like, what should we do? And many times I'm getting all worked up. And one of them will be like, you see, just take this thing easy. You are still growing. You need to be calm on yourself. But as part, it is in my personality. When you have to get something done, just get it done. Don't give me excuses, right? Right. So there was this particular time in this year, I changed something. It was my perspective. And I told myself, because we had a goal to impact 1,000 minds per year till 2023. And so this particular, after we did the webinar, we had about few people come on the call. And then I was like, see, even if it's one person that shows up, I would do this thing with my also. And what she that one person minus 1,000 meant the number was not 1,000.
That's right. That's right.
So I told myself, if I keep continuing on this space, the numbers would reduce. So the actual thing is to get to a goal. And in this goal, and I'm embracing, I mean, you're just starting. You have to be, really have to be realistic. Because I'm not like just Maxwell, yeah, that would put up a program and then thousands of people would just apply.
How many years did it take him to become that John Maxwell?
I'm telling you, I was reading some of his autobiographies. I was just digging out videos long, and I was even seeing the views. I'm like, and you want to kill yourself? Better take it easier. Those days, I eat and I go and sleep. And it was just a
the change of perspective. If you ask, if you ask the mind to get to, I was saying this also to somebody. I said, many times we don't appreciate our growth because we are fixed on a destination. Like I was telling somebody, if I'm coming to, for instance, I'm coming to Lagos, you're not going to see me in the next 1 minute. Per adventure, if I forget something, I will come back home. But the truth is, my Lord, yes, I made progress. Have I been?
That's right.
Have I been a seed? Yes, I have. So many times we are focused on that destination. When I'm not on that destination, I'm not anywhere. I'm not doing anything, and then we do anything. But the moment we keep, our mind on, this is actually growth. My goal should bring me to a growth, not to a destination. Because after the destination, telling you, you are still looking for more destinations to get to.
There'll always be.
Nobody fulfilled. Like, really, it doesn't get anybody fulfilled. So the real thing is just to tell yourself, this is a growth journey. And if it's a growth journey, I'm going to put my perspective in that particular place. So back to my brand. I told my team I was celebrating. I said, you know, this is actually, I think we had about 30-something people on the call. I was like, 1,000 minus
30.
And we are no longer in 1,000 again. Now the number has reduced, and
there are seniors who don't even have that number. You'll be shocked.
Sure.
You will be shocked. See, you said something just now. You said something about how when you went down, you went to history to look at his old videos, and then you saw the number of views. So here's what I do. Let me help those of you on this call who are pressured by other people's progress. I have been on this journey for actively 7 years. But I started working when I was 15. That's technically 13 years work experience I have. That is way more time than you would expect me to have. But here's what I've also discovered during that process. Every time I see someone who is older or someone who is doing better than me, the first thing I do is search for when they began.
Right.
Every time I see someone's content that intimidates me, I go to when they began. I started working 13 years ago. I cannot have the same experience as someone who started working 18 years ago, except you thrust me in the middle of a big project where I had to run errands for everybody.
Right.
Which is also the place of volunteering.
Yes, absolutely.
Because now I am learning. During the Direct Investor Summit of Nigeria in 2018, I was an errand girl. That's all I was. I would run downstairs to get water for coffee for some people. Then they would send me on an errand. I remember one day they sent me and I came back with, was it 15 naira change or 20 naira change? And the lady who sent me was like, why didn't you buy something for yourself? And I looked at her like, you didn't tell me to buy anything for myself. The host of the event was there looking at me. The person who was coordinating the event was there looking at me and she was like, that's something. At the end of this whole errand girl thing, when they needed someone to coordinate all the core members working on that project, they handed it over to me. 32 core members, I had not gone for service.
Wow.
I had not gone for service. So that these people showed up, the clothes they wore, the shirts they wore, whose name got on the list, who got paid, everything passed through me.
Wow.
So you would think that, because I was not building my thing, I was not growing. If you know what you don't have, you now know what to learn. So when I come on these types of projects, I still have some of the cards. Mind you, I didn't have plans to plan this conference again. I remember during that conference, I collected the sheets for the emails we were sending, how we sent people updates, the kind of tags people were wearing, the kind of jotter people used, the way they branded it, how people entered the event. I was paying attention to all those details even when I didn't have plans to host a conference.
Wow.
It is not enough that you are afraid. The question is, what are you afraid of? I'm going to go on this perspective of fear and I'm going to go into prayer right now. For Audacity Conference, guys, if you are not registering for Audacity Conference, I'm feeling sorry for you. Me, I'm feeling sorry for you. This is not one of those ticket is almost exhausted, enter, that they are trying to intimidate you. No. If anything happening in my life is to be compared to what will happen at that state conference, then it will be mind-blowing. As the conference plan came through, and I knew God was saying, oh, auntie, conference has to happen. There's a major thing I'm expecting. And literally, I felt like God was saying, from conference venue, you can go and do it. I'm like, ha, so this conference must shall happen. I was like, can't I just host conference and bring other speakers? It did not work. I was like, okay, can't somebody else host conference? Let me come and be a speaker. It did not work. I was like, ha, the video had bummed me, right? You don't even know, understand Yoruba. That's happened. So I decided I was going to go on a fast. I'm not a fasting girl. Don't look like I fast to you. Look at these cheeks. Do they look like fasting cheeks?
Where?
But then when God wants you to do things, you do what needs to be done, right? So I went on this long fast. And this fast was not praying that God will do it. No, I was fasting for faith. I was fasting that my mind, you know, when you say you fast, it's for your body to align, for you to give off something so that you can pay more attention. This time around, I was fasting that my mind will agree with what God has already said. So now when I say I'm afraid during this fast, every morning I will sit up in prayer and I will literally list some set of fears. And every time the set of fears came, I will see the set of scriptures that are answering it, which goes back to the question again. Do you know what you are afraid of? Do you know? I went to that venue yesterday, 1,000-seater auditorium, 1,000-seater. The sound person was talking about this. The recording person was talking about that. Guest minister was this. Hotel was that. They were telling us how we cannot bring drinks into the venue. We cannot do this in the venue. Blah, blah, blah in the venue. And as I was joking and telling them that I'll just go and get married. And by the conference, I'll be like, all of you should stand up and greet my husband. As I was in the car coming home, the scripture came to mind. For your maker is your husband. The Holy One of Israel is he. There are scriptures that answer your fear if you will be honest enough to admit the fear.
Yes, ma'am.
So many of us are too proud to accept that I'm afraid. What if I fail? What if you don't fail?
Guess what is?
Hey, go on, please. I was going to ask you a question, but go on.
Okay, please. Maybe you should ask the question first.
Okay. Between the last 5 years when you've been practicing before you launched the Brooklet Work, at what point did you know you had to launch Brooklet Work more than just your personal space and your personal growth and your personal development? When did you know you had to carry other people along?
Oh, okay. Just before I go further, I mean, I'm seeing some of my team members here. I mean, I think I'm seeing Galola, and I just want to say thank you for joining, Galola. All right. So when did I know that place? I think it starts from who gives the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons you are in. There are different seasons. There are seasons God will tell you, you know, it is for people, and there are seasons they are for you. So I started Brooklet Work, and I was going to share this. Brooklet Work has just been one of the things God has really told me is, Ewa, it is a vision that I want you to live personally. Brooklet Work will grow as much as you're growing. Mm-hmm. So you have the vision and the
channel. That's right.
At any point in time. So mm-hmm. The channel changes. The message is not changing. The course is not changing. You still have the mission to inspire people and get them on their journey. So when I started Coach Ewa, and I was doing Coach Ewa, it got to a particular time. Brooklet Work actually started in COVID period, in June to be precise. After my, it was my fourth cup that year. And God was like, you know, I was doing coaching and people didn't know that many times after I'm done, I'm just going back to my room and I'm crying like, God, are you really taking this relationship from me?
I think we all have that version of that story. We all do.
And then God will say, you know what, I'll clean your teeth, but just go out. Somebody needs your voice. And so I kept doing that. And I thought, oh, Brooklet Work came to be in June, to be precise. And God said, no, I was not telling you to go out. And so Brooklet Work was indoor. God was telling me, God was saying, I want you to teach the culture. I want you to teach the culture. So one day, because I had jotters, I was always writing the culture of Brooklet Work, the core values. They kept changing over time. And one day, my Yoruba would call it Roborebe. In the midst of getting running around, God said, you don't even know the culture. I need to teach you the culture. Sit down. So that was another 2 years, and Brooklet Work actually came out in 2022, I guess. Yeah, 2022. And it has been since 2020. So all through that time, it was always Coachella. So how did I know there was going to be that transition? That transition was, you know, I knew that there was a time I was actually stuck at that point. I felt, oh, God, if I want to do Brooklet Work, you know, you need to have team. And you definitely know when you work with people, people will teach you how to be patient. I have not always been the patient type of person. So at that point in time, I was in between and I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go with Coachella. You send messages, they are not even answering you. They're answering you. They are not doing it the way you want. And then you can't just shout and you have to learn patience. So I think at that point, I went to pray. I'm like, God, what would you have me do? And God was like, the question is, what do you think you should do at this point? What is the message? Do you want self or you actually want to impact people? And I asked myself the question, if I really want to get to people, which would be faster? And I knew it was people. It was working with people. And one of the things that I have learned from Brooke Network, like I tell my team members, we all agree. Brooke built us just the way we were building Brooke. And I'm definitely grateful I took that route. I took that route when I actually died to self. You know, when you're doing your personal thing, there's that fame. There's that, oh, it is me. But when was, my name was not attached to it. And I was so comfortable allowing or watching others soar, watching ourselves. You know, I had this, I can get it done personally, like I said on the call. When I need to get something done, it gets done. But at that point, I mean, I saw my humility. I saw how that you need people to get to whatever it is you want to get to. So I think God took me through that phase when he wanted to teach me that if you're going to actually be a blessing in people, if you're going to multiply yourself in people, it's not something you're going to do alone. You're going to be willing to work with people. And so through that year, I knew it was a lesson. It was a season. And so in that season, I knew what God was teaching me. God was teaching me how to be meek, how to be humble, how to accept that you are not enough. No matter what the vision God gives you, you alone will not run it. So it built my mind. It built my mind from, oh, I want the glory for myself. And guys, we all did this together to become a better leader. Because if you say, God, give me an idea that would give people more jobs, give me an idea, God will first work with you first. And in that place of working with you, God will put you in people. You know, I posted a video one time where someone said, when you pray to be courageous, you think God just gives you courage or gives you situations that are scary.
So that required courage.
See, so when we pray that God help me to reach more people, help me to impact more people, God does first is to remove self from you. He removes self from you. Place of self, Audacity Nation now. I mean, you can testify that it's not only you running Audacity. You can't say you want to take the glory. No, your team members are holding your hands. And I mean, that was literally what it happened to me. I mean, I learned a lot. So I knew God was teaching me something. Ewa, you are proud. You need to learn something this period. And I'm grateful I did because it was a turning point for me. It was really a turning point for me. So I think that it was meant to be Brooke Network and not me. And again, the vision, actually, I really do think as a person, we are limited. There was a time I was reading Songs of Solomon, and you know, Solomon was saying how that what is the end of all this wealth when you have everything and you don't know who is coming ahead of you, how he's going to use it. I know he said it's because you have not trained people, you are scared of leaving. Many times when you have held people's hands, even when you leave the stage, you know the vision will continue running. Because the vision will never die.
Legacy.
Exactly.
Legacy.
So basically, so I knew at that point it was meant to be Brooke Network. It was not meant to be Coachella because it was not Coachella. And really, at that point, really gave me a mind shift to know that, yes, God would actually. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that's how I knew that it was a season.
It actually does answer the question. I think three key things from what you said was, number one, you knowing that the vision was beyond you.
Yes.
You being born by the vision. And I think that's something every visionary must know, that the vision lives.
Yeah.
The vision has a life. I always tell my people, if we shut down Lisa Express, if I say, oh, I don't want to do Lisa Express because I'm afraid, because I feel ill-equipped. One, I always tell them that the person who will wake up to be the sex therapist and be a Christian in Nigeria will be younger than me. Because the vision lives, it needs to be done and it will be done. The vision is beyond you. It will bring glory to you, but it exceeds your glory.
Yeah.
As we began to prepare for Audacity Conference, I was talking about how I was praying and God was talking to my fears and God was giving me words. I had literal pictures of some days within conference, some words for conference, some things that were going to happen during conference. But again, about a week ago, something had happened and I couldn't sleep. So I stayed up and I was just trying to get myself full of the word. And it occurred to me that all the while I had been talking about how I'm afraid for conference, I had no question what will happen if I don't show up for conference. What traumas will people have to manage if I don't show up? How long will they have to wait before another person comes on board? Too many times we don't understand that we are important. And I think I need to say this to someone who feels like they are not valuable. Like what you're doing is not important enough. Like who knows you? Eh? You're telling yourself, who know me? What have I achieved? Who is my father? Who is this? Who is that? You're asking yourself questions and convincing yourself that you are irrelevant. That's a lie. That WhatsApp post you're making every day consistently is touching someone.
Right.
There is someone somewhere who will not do something wrong in their life because you leave. when I became a Christian newly, I'm sure Rita Orim does not know what I'm about to say. Rita Orim does not know what I'm about to say. I used to come to NIFES meetings. I was an ESCO in prayer unit. And so I would come to meetings and in my head it's like, you have to look a certain way to be a Christian. But Rita would always come to church glammed up. And she didn't even know that I was taking notes. I wasn't telling her. I would always just look at her and be like, Mama actually wore heels and prayed today. It was crazy that I was taking notes of her life. And I never even went to her to say, oh, I'm taking notes of this in your life. There are people right now who are taking notes in your life. Like you are a classroom for them. Understand that your life is a classroom to somebody. There are people taking notes from that small thing you are doing. That small thing that you think, oh, it's not the right time. Oh, we don't have the right resources. Oh, I'm not the right person. Oh, I'm not the right, I don't have the right team. Now, regarding your teams, regarding the people who will work with you, while you might be afraid, do you also know that God has provisions for men? God has men in every city. Mm-hmm. Recently, as I was preparing for Audacity Conference, I got to this part of David's story where David, we already, all of us here know that David is a mighty man of war, right? David is a fighter. Guy is good with his sword and his everything as the years went by. But David had men who fought until their sword clipped to their hands. That kind of dedication. People came to David and said, we are your flesh. We are your bone. People committed to the vision and they were not weak people. So can you refuse that lie that says that, oh, your men will be few or your men will be weak or your people will not be enough or people will not want to be connected to the vision? There are people who will agree with your vision, who are connected to your vision. So instead of allowing fear to put you down, can you start praying and calling forth your men? I didn't know what Lisa Express was going to be. I didn't know what Audacity Nation was going to be. But I knew as an undergraduate, I would go to University of Abuja Schofield and I would start praying for my men. I remember I used to pray for team members in Asia. I still remember that I used to go to University of Abuja Schofield and I would pray for partners in Asia. I didn't even know why until this week when I was working on one of the Audacity Conference content and I wrote down multiracial, multigenerational, multi-denominational. I did not know this years ago when I was going and praying about this type of people. When I wrote multiracial, I just stood and I was like, oh shoot, this was what I was praying for. I didn't even know. I didn't even know. Whether you are still checking out the vision or you are still checking out the people, will you be bold enough to ask in prayer? Will you be bold enough to believe for it? Will you be bold enough to call forth people who will work with you? Will you be bold enough to start calling the currency you want to spend? Will you be bold enough to start calling the kind of platforms you want to be on? Will you be bold enough to start liking and following the kinds of people you want to be? The right time to start is now. There will never be a better time. Ewa, is there anything you want to round up with?
Exactly. I think this was what I wanted to say before. So I'm just going to share a particular thing that happened to me last year. I was actually trying to look for the note so that I can read the exact words God said to me, but then I can't find it. It's not close by. So it was last year I was praying and I was telling God how I wanted my team and I to go through a John C. Maxwell course in 2023. It was December 31st, so I was just praying and I was there. I know God told me, said, provision is released when there is a vision. That's like the summary. Like there's always a provision for every vision. I'm trying to get words exactly. Please just let me do that so that this would actually, I can read the words exactly, I mean, and then I'll share what actually happened after that time. Oh, I'm sorry for the noises. So I'm just going to go through it, look for it. Right, I mean, it was, he said resources are released when there is a propelling vision. Don't be afraid to think and plan big. And so that was what had in my mind just on that 30. It was on the 30th. So I was just praying and I'm like, God, I really just want it. So in my mind, I was planning with God. So I said, okay, this is what will happen in November. I would have saved up for November. So I already told my team that, don't worry, in November, we would go through a course and because it was just too big for me to think. I mean, I wanted the John C. Maxwell because I was going about 2.5 million as at 2021. So I knew that if I was going to do this for a team, it was going to be more than that. And you know, that day God told me, said, Ella, when there is a prevailing vision, provisions come out, resources are released to aid them. When there is some, don't be afraid to plan big. It's in your mind that you are thinking, if it is me, I mean, it can always work out easily. So it was just a few days. It was exactly on our anniversary. That was March 2nd. I just sat down in the room. I was just like, God, you see, I'm just going to commit this journey to you. And I ask that you lead me to timely mentors, resources, training. I was just praying that, God, I ask that you lead me to these things timely. And 3 days after, somebody came into my DM with that same opportunity about John Simanto for my team and I. And we didn't have to pay anything. And right there, wow. God told me, said, you see, when I tell you that I would release resources, I was not joking.
Hey, God, grace.
Oh, you.
Grace, ma.
No, Mrs. Alisa, please. All God was just telling me to do was, Ewa, all I need you to do is to be available. Thinking, you know, this Ephesians 3:2 came to my mind one time. As a growing kid, because I grew in a Christian home, one of the things my mom always did for us was we recite scriptures every morning. So I'd always been so familiar of many scriptures. But this day, I was just doing something in my room. And God told me, said, Ephesians 3:20 says, and to him who can do exceedingly abundantly, that we can think, act, or imagine. So it means that if God wants to work with anything, God needs you to open your mouth. God needs you to open your mind. You have to be able to think. And so many times when I want things that my mind cannot comprehend, like you said, you know, I think it was when you shared that stuff, I said, you know, you pray for your faith to grow. I didn't know that people had to do that. But at that point, there was
not pray for faith to grow. Say faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So it was like a conscious staying on words, like consciously. Staying on it and saying, you know what, this is what I want to do. I want my faith to grow for this.
Exactly. You know, I know when you are taking in, when you are waking up and all you are saying is, my mind aligns with what God is saying.
That's right.
Pastor T.D. Jakes said, God is not trying to prepare a blessing for you. He's preparing you for the blessing. So whatever resource that you need, God is not trying to manufacture it. It's already down. My pastor would say something. God does not need cars. He doesn't need the men. He doesn't need miracles. He doesn't need money in heaven. They are not spending it. So he wants to give it to you more than you can imagine. He wants to give it that you can imagine.
My faith is increased for conference right now. Thank you for coming on this live session.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mind, if God does not need the husband, if God does not need the money, does not need anything, it means he needs me to imagine that I would have a beautiful home. He needs me to imagine that I would have a beautiful team that is taking the world. So whatever it is you want to do, you know, I already had a list of what I was going to come and share, but I'm so grateful Minister Lisa went this route. And I just want to put it out to you that see, there's really never going to be a best time. There's never going to be a time that you feel I am confident enough. If there was, you know, when talking with my boyfriend, you know, he tells me, he says, then what is God's usefulness in the question? God likes to work with men who are weak, in weak situations. So
what is God's usefulness in the question? All these quotes are just dropping on us this night, God, I'm vague.
So, you know, many times, I'm just like Gideon. Gideon was scared. He was threshing in a hidden place, and God said, courageous man, wow. So when God calls me, man, when God calls me a coach to the world, a coach, an international coach, God is not calling me in my state. He's calling me in what I can become, what he knows is on my inside. And the truth is, God's words are creative. If God says something is black and it is white, that moment it turns to black. So if God says that, go, trust me, God has prepared the way ahead of you.
Wow.
Whenever I want to do, remember David. David was coming back from a battle and he was saying that, you know, he got there and he was saying, God, should I overtake? It's natural that doubt will come. It's natural that fear will come. But take a pause. Stop. You are right for the journey. See, in fact, if you start when you think you're right, you're already late, like I rightly said. And when it is God in the equation, you would never do it when you feel enough. In fact, when I was going to start Brooklyn Walk, that was when I was noticing a lot of flaws in me. I was like, God, and you want me to go? And God said, yes, it is the time I need you to go. And I'm grateful I went. I have not become ill or I've never started the journey according to me, but I've grown. The vision has not been the same. In fact, the vision has built me more than I have built people. That's the honest truth. And so by the time I'm like, David, I'm like, did you ask me to go again? Brooklyn, where God says go. So be like David, bring out the effort and drop it on the ground. Be like, God, are you asking me to go again? There are many times you want to quit. Many, many, many times. And if you don't
really
want to quit, I'm telling you, you're not doing what God has asked you to do.
Oh, great.
Whatever God
you see, go on.
Must take you. It must put you on the place where you're like, God, are we really together? Like, are you the want to just set me up right now? Are you sure set me up? Are you sure that you are with me in this journey? And, you know, at that point, words to you, God will send resources. Resources are the least in God's in God's agenda. That's it. That's one of the
things. Talk to me, ma.
Resources are the least. Once God sends a word, my goodness, a word used. And there was one mindset I had. God told me one day when I was crying, I was like, oh, I need all of this. God said, see, woman, I used the word, the system that is reproducing what is reproducing, and what will still be reproducing just 6 days. You think your own problem is too big. In less than minutes, I will settle it all out. But it is you whose faith has to get up there. So you can just be like, God, see, I'm just going to be like the woman that had the issue of blood. You know, God was telling me that that blood meant blood is what is every human runs on. When your blood is gone, you are gone. So it was the woman with the issue of life. And so if you can be like that woman and touch the M, Jesus, you see, I don't need your full body, but if I touch your M, I know that you're going to know that somebody just touched you right now. So that's that.
Jesus. There'll
never be a
time. Jesus.
There'll never be a time that you're like, oh, I'm perfect enough. I think this is when I need to come out. This is when I need to. If you do it with God, you came out very late or you're not running on instruction. Trust me. But at the eventual end, look at people in the Bible. So, God, are you me? Where am I coming from? And that man shook the world. Look at Solomon. God, what do I want to do? That man was the wisest man. God would make whatever. You just have to surrender to him and start your journey. Another thing again is that, you know, see, confidence and mastery is built in your place, in the journey. It's built in the journey. It's not built anywhere outside the journey. Many times I'm like, God, I wish I knew this. And whenever I'm comparing myself, God will say, you can only compare yourself because you're giving yourself to God. And that's what I like about your Ewa. If you keep growing, you keep seeing things that you still need to do better, that you can even do better. So your confidence to whatever, because there is that which God will do. There is that which you must do. So you are
part of God
in whatever. So at every point in time, there's always an higher price you have to pay. There's always a higher, for every new level, for every new season, there's another price God will give you. And at that point, you're like, okay, for this level, what price am I paying? For some level, God needed just my passion to run. And there is a season that I'm in, and God is like, woman, I need you to sell. I need you to put structure in Brook if it's actually going to become what I need it to become. You can't just be running in passion anymore. So at every point in time, God will give you an assignment. And this is the beautiful thing I tell people in Philippians 2 verse 13. It says, God is the one working in us to will and to do. So God knows you are human. God knows you are weak. So what God does is he stirs up the passion. He brings you to that season and he empowers you. So don't think you're ever alone, because there would actually never be a right time, because time is actually God. It's with God. So if you try to judge God by, you try to judge human chronologically with God's time, we're out of season. So whatever passion it is, God, whatever dream rather, whatever instruction God has given you, chill, you got it figured out. And you will make mistakes. Yes, you will make mistakes. The Holy Spirit will correct you. He will tell you this thing should not be done. And it will bring many away. It will bring people that will love you, people that will give their all literally to ensure that which God has asked you to do. So the right time will never come. Honestly, it would never come as long as you are in God. I mean, so many people are like, I remember when I was going to start, because I started this journey 17 years. And even before then, I've been doing it side by side.
Yes, you wanted to steal the boat in my thunder.
Yes.
I remember.
Yes.
So Ewa and I belong to the same counselors network. And I used to be the youngest counselor. Then one day, they just added this younger to the group. And it was like, she was the new youngest counselor in the group.
Yes.
Ah, you're lucky I like you.
I like you. At that point, I was like, oh God, will I be able to navigate? Will I be able to do everything?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, in 5 years that I've started, in 5 years that I've been doing this thing, I've been seeing God. And at every phase, I can tell you that there truly has never been a right time. There has not been
Thank
a right
you.
Time. I'm studying counseling
psychology,
and it's still... I'm still feeling like God. Am I still?
Thank you so much, Ewa. Thank you. Thank you so much. Like, thank you. I can keep saying thank you over and over again. There was a point where I felt like, let's just raise our hands and worship. Ewa came prayed up. She came prayed up for IG Live. We need to round up now because it's 8 p.m. So what I'm going to do is, like we did last week, if you have any question, please send it to the DM and we'll make videos for you that answer your questions and post it on our YouTube channel. That way we'll be able to answer all your questions and still leave our Instagram cleared for subsequent sessions. For those of you who missed it, between Monday and yesterday, I did 20 minutes live. Yesterday's one was like 7 minutes, where I've been talking about shame, how shame has been stopping you. I felt this really strong urge to just come on and teach on shame. I wanted to even pray with some of us. The reason many of us are not even starting is because we're already ashamed for a journey we've not begun. It's like, if I start and I fail, they will laugh at me. If I start and it does not work, if I start, what will they say? As we round up today's session, I just want to pray for you. And I want you to go back and watch those videos so that you can take what is yours out of it and apply it to what God has called you to do. Do what needs to be done. Do the work. Like Ewa said, there's the God's part and there's your part.
Yeah.
It's not God, do it and get the glory. There's a part that is your own. We had to get a team for conference. We had to reach out to media people. Mm-hmm. Those of you who don't know, we recorded a live prayer album last year, Deep Ocean Grace. Mm. We have not done Deep Ocean Grace and released it to you yet. So before conference, Deep Ocean Grace 2, we have to work on Deep Ocean Grace 1 and get it out. And we are recording Deep Ocean Grace 2 during conference. So we can sit down and say, God is going to do it. Let's just rest. Guy, God's glory will be available, but we will not tap into it.
Yeah.
So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person who is on this live call and every person who will listen to the replay of this. I thank you because you are their strength. You are your sufficiency. Thank you because your word in their heart has increased. In the name of Jesus, for faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Today we've taught tips, we've given your word, we've shared experiences. Lord, breathe on it. In the name of Jesus, thank you because the things you've already said to them that they convince themselves are dead. Thank you because you are bringing them back to life. Thank you because you're giving them fresh hope. A lot of people believe that hope deferred makes the heart weary, that their hope has been deferred. Therefore, they don't have any reason to hope again. But Jesus, we know you are our living hope. We know that you have not called the seed of Jacob to seek you in vain. Lord, as we put our hearts to the things you've called us to do, thank you, God, because there will be results. In the name of Jesus, thank you because we'll not look at the wind, we'll not look at the storm. Bible speaking says those who look at the wind will not sow, those who look at the storm, they won't even harvest when they sown. Lord, we will not be those people, we will not be distracted. When you say walk on water, we will not look at the storm. When you say dig your valleys, we will not wait for evidences of rain or dew. In the name of Jesus, thank you because as we go, you will connect us to men and women who will strengthen our faith, men and women who will uphold our hands, men and women who will fight with us in Jesus' mighty name. And I pray for Coach Ewa, for Brooke Network, for the entire thing. Thank you, God, because you will give them wisdom. Thank you because you will give them strength. Thank you because you will sustain their courage. Thank you because you will sustain their power. Thank you because you will sustain their faith. Thank you, God, for Audacity Nation. Thank you for Audacity Conference, because we will see you like never before. There will be healing, there will be courage, and there will be power. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for having me, Minister Louisa.
You're welcome.
Are you sure? I got you.
Good night, everyone. Good
night, everybody. And thank you for joining, everybody. Thank you to those of you watching soon again. I would be watching again, too. I need to watch myself.